Dancing Debbie Drives a DeLorean. Welcome to Parking Thought, the podcast and YouTube channel where I share my thoughts when I park, sometimes in a chair, oftentimes in my car. On this show, we explore the contribution of systems and people we often take for granted. Curiosity, meet gratitude. My name is Jacob, and I'm glad you're here today. This week, we're going to be looking at people in history. Some might be in my own family, but in general, we're going to look and find opportunities to be grateful and thankful for their creativity and their contributions. Now, not all of these people are going to be perfect, and we're going to start off with one that you probably haven't heard of. But if you've ever seen any of the Star Wars movie, this person has impacted your life. Yes, an unknown, well, to you anyway, probably, a British engineer that you might not have heard of before actually impacted the Star Wars movies several years later. And let me explain how this works. So the gentleman in question, or the conversation for the gentleman in question today, is Mr. Barnes Wallace. I think he might have been a Sir Barnes Wallace by the time he finished off. Now, Barnes Wallace was an engineer who lived to an age of maturity by the time World War II had come out. And as he saw the winds of war turning towards England, he contributed his engineering skills to the effort of helping to make sure that the British arsenal was capable of, or as capable as it could be. And one of the things that he did contribute was some of the design work for the Wellington bomber. Now, the Wellington bomber is its own unique aircraft. And for those of you guys who are aircraft aficionados, right, please apologize for my limited knowledge on that. Maybe that'll be an area I learn about more later on. But the Wellington bomber, for those of you who are listening from the States, may be compared to the popularity of like the B-17 for those of us on the American forces side. The Wellington bomber was an amazing piece of aircraft, and part of the engineering feat that Barnes Wallace achieved was not just the fact that it would fly and carry a heavy payload, but that it could be easily produced. And remember, one of the things that, you know, occurred so significantly in the war is you ended up having scarce resources, which tends to happen when your shipping lanes are impacted by your enemy. So you have scarce resources, right? And you have to increase the rate of manufacturing. And so what Barnes Wallace did was absolutely tremendous for being able to get a bomber with the range that the Wellington had and with the load capacity that the Wellington had up and running. But that's not really why I ended up coming to know or learn about Barnes Wallace. In fact, I learned about him not because of what his plane was doing, but a particular bomb he designed for his plane. So Barnes Wallace looked at the situation in World War II differently than a lot of others. And one of the things he observed with a group of friends, I'm sure he didn't come up with this all on his own, but the idea of they had calculated out how much water it takes to make a ton of steel and realized that the German manufacturing process required a significant amount of water to create steel. And that in order to create the, in order to have that much water, they had built dams and other things like that to support the industry. We do the same thing today in most industrialized nations. They will have dams and other water sources readily available, so that way the production of steel can have, you know, the appropriate cooling apparatuses and other things that water provides to that manufacturing process, and as well as the hydroelectric power and a few other things that are out there. So Barnes Wallace had figured this out and had participated in a plan to blow up three or four significant dams in Germany, right? And if the dams were able to be broken, then it would release a lot of the water, cause a lot of damage at the factories that were downstream from it, of course, but it would also, you know, significantly damage the water supply for that duration of that season, right? So it would increase the scarce resources on the German side, which would hopefully slow down the war effort and, you know, the logistics. War and logistics are highly tied together. There's a great lesson in the American Revolution with Nathaniel Greene, who ended up being Washington's logistics officer for the Revolutionary Army. And that role was so important that he never really got to be a general in the sense of, you know, leading troops until the Battle of Cowpens, which directly led to the Battle of Yorktown. Yorktown would not have happened if Cowpens had not been successful. And because Cowpens was successful, we ended up with Yorktown. And Yorktown was a no-win situation, essentially, for the British, with the French coming in to support us. And I digress. Let's go back to World War II, Barnes Wallace and the dams in Germany. So they want to figure out a way to blow up these dams. Now, the problem is a dam from the air is a very thin target, right? And in order to break through it, dams are already holding back such a significant amount of water that the amount of bombs it would take to actually damage a dam are significant, especially the way the Germans had engineered. You know, those dams were several meters thick, you know, in a way that you weren't going to, none of the bombs at the time were going to be able to do a whole lot. You know, their bombing runs would have had to have been extremely accurate. World War II did not allow us to have extremely accurate bombing like we do today. And so these guys needed some way to be able to blow it up. And so what Barnes Wallace did is he figured out that if he created a spherical bomb or a rounded bomb, right, and had the bomb spinning backwards at the bottom of a plane, and if it was released at a certain speed and a certain distance from the edge of the dam, that this bomb would bounce across the water. Yes, like skipping a stone, it would bounce across the water. And he figured out the mathematical formula to allow it to bounce across the water until it would land and then hit the dam without blowing up, right? And then roll backwards, right? So it was spinning backwards. So it would roll backwards, which would allow the bomb to go right up against the dam wall. Now, the reason that's important is because if water acts as both a cushion, right? And it can also project the energy released in an explosion, right? So one of the technique used by Army engineers and other folks who have to do precise explosive stuff is they put a water bag on one side of the explosion, or on one side of the explosive element, you know, C4 or whatever the case may be. So that way it projects the explosion in a particular direction. So what Barnes needed to do is he needed to be able to have this bomb right up against the concrete of the dam, because if there was water in between it, right, that water would act as a cushion and keep the bomb from being as effective to blow through all those meters of really steel reinforced concrete. I mean, that's some pretty hard stuff to blow through. Now, Barnes figured out the math for this. He figured out how to build the bomb in a way so it wouldn't explode once it was dropped, and to be able to make it the right size. And other teams that were helping him out engineering this problem figured out how to get the planes to be at the right height. Yes, because height, speed, and distance were all required and had to be calculated to be precise in order for this to work. And they were successful, right? The operation was successful. Now, people we can be grateful for, but they're also really complex, right? All of us are really complex. We do not have to be ashamed that we are not perfect people, right? We are complex people. Barnes felt after this operation that he was very saddened because he had grown close to the specific pilots and crew members who had been assigned to this operation. And some of his engineering decisions led to their death because when they were doing testing or other things like that, he did not have certain elements perfectly calculated. And if memory serves, they had an incident where one of the bombs dropped out of the plane and then bounced back up, hit the plane, and actually ended up, you know, killing members of the crew. So that was difficult for him to deal with. Now, on the other side, because, again, nobody wins in a war, right? And that is 20 years in the military, I'd love to tell you that there's a winner and a loser, and there's not. Nobody wins in a war, right? People might say so, but I didn't see it in my lifetime. And for Barnes, he felt that as well. And this is one of the other reasons why I've been able to feel like I can connect with him, is because he not only saw the loss of life on the Allied side, but one of the other components of this was you had towns and villages of completely innocent civilians, you know, who were working in those factories or not, or working in the farmland downstream. And when those dams broke, it flooded their area. In the U.S., there was a documented flood it's the Grand Teton Dam, I think it was, or the Teton Dam, and it flooded the Star Valley in Wyoming and washed out, a lot of that area. People were able to be, you know, evacuated, and so it wasn't as life-threatening, but it was not an insignificant event, and breaking three dams in one night is not an insignificant event in any country. And so there's this complexity here where, you know, essentially Barnes was the engineer of a great feat to help, you know, end the war, but a part of that is, you know, this what would or could be considered today by today's standards a war crime. And having to live with that was not an easy challenge. So let's move on to something a little happier here. because I told you this does relate to Star Wars. So those of you guys who are Star Wars fans, remember that George Lucas's skills do not lie in editing. There's a few great series out there that talk about how Star Wars was saved in the edit, and it absolutely was. George recognized that he had limitations when it came to how he edited film, and that his focus was more on the technical aspects, and needed to, you know, we can talk about the merits there and story writing and other things like that. But editing was not his forte. And so what they did is they needed a movie that they could use as a reference. They literally grabbed a movie that had a battle fighting scene that they could use to set the timing for some of the Star Wars fighting scenes that occurred, or that you saw in Star Wars Episode 4. The movie they chose was called The Dam Busters, which is the British production that tells the story of the air flight crew and Barnes Wallace coming up with these, I think they called them Bouncy Betties or whatever they were, the bomb that, you know, hit these dams. You know, now while I don't know how to feel about the loss of life from this, right, I do know and I do get excited about the engineering challenge and overcoming that and being able to make that real. I full on appreciate what Barnes has done. And then that side of having to live with the consequences of your actions is also one of those areas where, you know, when we have those feelings, right, we're not alone. We can be grateful that other people have had those same challenges in life, that sometimes their best efforts have led to destructive ends, and some unintentionally and some intentionally. And then how to live with that and how to continue to be positive and productive. So if that's a thing that you might be going through or have gone through, do not feel alone. Look at the lives of some of the folks that are out there. And just like Barnes Wallace, the lives of the people that you may want to reference, you may not know anything about. So I'm glad I could tell the story of Barnes Wallace today. I hope that adds to your day. I hope you can find opportunities to be grateful for the things around you and the engineering challenges that people have solved. And if you've ever watched Episode 4 of Star Wars, right? So A New Hope, that very first Star Wars, you can go back and watch the Dam Busters, and you'll notice that the edits are happening at the same timing in that production. So that's it for this edition of Parking Thought. This is the part where I remind you to like and subscribe. Yes, please go ahead and subscribe wherever you happen to find this. Like it and share. We don't often encourage you guys to share. But at this point, if you have somebody that you think would be able to appreciate a podcast about curiosity and gratitude to help their morning commute, feel free to give this a share and send them a link. Speaking of which, you can find those links over at parkingthought.com, right? We're also on Spotify, Radio Public, Pocket Cast, CastBox, Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, and Stitcher. And again, links for all that are at parkingthought.com. And remember, in a world where you can choose to be anything, why not choose to be grateful?